I was talking to the worship leader last Sunday, and after the service, he reminded me of you, Tyler. I mean, he was, he had hair and all that. Unlike us with our heredity, our Garner genes and Eves and all that. But he was talking about he had just been to a weekend, a Tent of David. Some of y'all have heard of the Tent of David. And they just go, and it was in Salt Lake, and they just worship for days. And it was a part of that, and talking about how tremendous that was. And I asked him, I said, where do you live? Are you local? He said, no, I'm north of Salt Lake. He said, it takes me about an hour and 15 minutes every day to get here, or every Sunday to get here. And he said, but you know, he said, it's so worth it. He said, heck, they used to walk for 3 days just to get to a church service back in the biblical days. And he said, so hour 15? He said, that ain't nothing. And I'm like, amen, I like your heart, brother. I like your heart. This morning I want to talk about the power of the seed. I guess one of my, probably my favorite Bill Johnson quote is, and he's got a lot of them that I like, and but my favorite Bill Johnson quote, he says, sometimes we ask God for an oak tree and he gives us an acorn. And we're like, we want this mighty oak that's big and mature and strong, Pat, and 40, 50 years old, and it's producing all these acorns, but he gives us an acorn. Has he failed to give us what we asked for? He still gave us an oak tree. It's just in seed form. And the older I get, I find that there's more beauty in the seed and watching the seed become what it's designed to be, instead of getting to see something simply at its fruition or its completion point. The joy and the beauty of the journey is where we come to know and experience and find the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, the care of the Father. And without the journey, we would read about it, but we wouldn't fully experience it. I'm glad my girls didn't come as 25-year-old women, but they came as little babies. I'm glad my grandchildren didn't come as being mature. But to watch them in the process, to watch the journey, to watch the growth and development, and then when things click, it's beautiful to see. Because you're like, this is significant, this is monumental. And maybe it's because I'm getting older. I mean, I'm 59 plus 4. And so it's, me and Lori got a new way of doing math. We just 59 plus add a year. But it's the joy in watching the process. God planted a garden when he could have created anything. This morning we're going to look and talk for just a few minutes about the disciples and the call of the disciples. And, you know, so often we look at things and we try to get this view and we say, Lori mentioned the Brownsville Revival, and while I believe it was incomplete because it didn't change culture down there, you know, if you go and there's no evidence that a revival even took place, if you drive by now, but countless hundreds and thousands of lives were dramatically impacted by a moment in the presence of God. And it may not look like, but the seeds. I want to read some scripture, and it's turning your Bibles to Romans 8. We're going to be in John 1. Romans 8 real quickly. Oh, I turned to John 1. Give me a second. We're going to start verse 28. This is familiar scripture to us. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. I love the Passion Translation. It's translated more out of the, with a combination of the Aramaic instead of just the Greek and the Hebrew. I think we gain a lot from that. That's the language that Jesus spoke. That was the manuscripts that the early church used was the Aramaic. So it just shows us a different depth. It says, so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good. I love that. We're convinced that I've got underlined, circled, and highlighted, every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his design purpose. For he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son. This means the son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. Having determined our destiny ahead of time, he called us to himself and transferred his perfect righteousness to everyone he called. And those who possess his perfect righteousness, he co-glorified with his son. So I see a few phrases in this, and it says that he destined us to share the likeness of his son, who will become just like him. He co-glorified with his son. And I don't know about you guys, but there are more often than not, that's not what my life looks like. You know, I want to be transformed into the image of Christ. I want to look more and more like Christ every day. I want to my attitude, my heart, my purity, all of these things to be more and more like Christ. But so often that's not the reality. But I believe in the seed. But I believe in the power of the seed. I believe in what he put in here. I believe what he did for me when he saved me. I believe in the process. And I'm convinced that it works and it comes to fruition. I remember when me and Lori first built our house, and we started in late 84, 85, and we finished it in 86 at some point. And where we put it, there were some little bitty skinny oak trees that were about 6 inches in diameter. But we left them. I have this thing that if it's a healthy oak tree on our place, I never cut it, no matter how small it is, because I believe in the power of the seed. I believe in what it'll become. Today, those oak trees are huge. 40 years later, or nearly 40 years later, they're huge. And what started out as something small became something big and strong and beautiful and mighty. And it was the nature of it to do that. And when God came in and God touched us and God called us and God saved us and God filled us with his spirit, he put seed, his seed, divine seed in us. And I believe in the power of that seed to become what he said it would become. That's what we're celebrating today with Carter. As we come and he enters into a different level of the Lord in baptism. And it's believing in the power of the seed. What I'm around Carter, which is not a whole lot, but what I'm around Carter, I can tell he's all boy. That's a good thing. But little boys are little boys. Little boys don't always look like Jesus. Little boys don't always act like Jesus or have Jesus purity or Jesus heart and Jesus all of these things, but I believe in the power of the seed. And today we're celebrating the journey. Today we're celebrating the power of the seed of what God put in you when you received him and what he put in me and what he put in us. So while we may not look like Romans 8:29, 8:30, I believe in the power of the seed. Y'all turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'm going to read some scripture, and we're going to just spend a few minutes and reflect on some individuals. And then we're going to have baptism and, I think, take communion together. We're going to start in verse 29, John 1, verse 29. The very next day, John saw Jesus. This is John the Baptist. Saw Jesus coming to him to be baptized, and John cried out, "Look, there he is, God's Lamb. He takes away the sin of the entire world. I told you that a mighty one would come who is far greater than I am because he existed long before I was born. My baptism was for the preparation of his appearing to Israel, even though I didn't recognize him." Then as he baptized Jesus, he proclaimed these words, "I see the Spirit of God appear like a dove, descending from the heavenly realm and landing upon him, and it remained on him. Before this, I didn't know who he was, but the one who sent me to baptize with water had told me, 'You will see the Spirit come down and stay on someone. He will be the one I have sent to baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen this happen, and I can tell you for sure that this man is the Son of God." And this is where I want to jump in. The next day, Jesus walked right past where John and two of his disciples were standing. John, gazing upon Jesus, pointed to him and prophesied, "Look, there's God's sacrificial lamb." And as soon as John's two disciples heard this, they immediately left John and began to follow a short distance behind Jesus. Jesus turned around and saw they were following him and asked, "What do you want?" And they responded, "Rabbi," which means master teacher, "where are you staying?" And Jesus answered, "Come and discover for yourselves." I absolutely love that phrase. Jesus came in and he asked him a simple question. He said, "What do you want?" I think that's a question that we should look and ask ourselves. What do we want? What are we looking for? What are we searching for in life? What fulfills us? What makes us whole? What brings us into a place of wholeness and completion and being seated in a place of peace? And the answer, I believe unequivocally, is Jesus and only Jesus and his Spirit and his presence that abides within us. We look at this transformation that we're about to see in the seed of the disciples that begin to follow Jesus. And I'm amazed at the transformation I see in these disciples. We look and we see guys like Peter and his character, his characteristics that we see in him early on, and even after 3 years, as he's still pulling out a sword and cutting off mouths of servants' ear and trying to, you know, Jesus said, "If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword." We see the transformation of this man that was such a place of I have to, you know, with the force of my personality, the force of who I am, I'm going to make these things happen, you know, whether it's call fire down from heaven on a Samaritan village or whatever, to a man that was so totally at peace and rest in a place with God that as he is about to be killed the next day, executed the next morning, we see him asleep between soldiers. Chained to 16 soldiers were his watch, were his guard. And this guy is asleep hours before his execution. There was a transformation that took place. There's a transformation that brought him into a place of, I believe, seeking but unrest, to a place of being seated in the peace of God. And I say yay for the journey. I love the journey. And it is evidence of the power of the seed that God puts in us. The cool thing about God, as we look at this, and we're about to talk about Peter and some of the guys real quick, is Jesus saw it from the beginning. Because when I look at seed now, whether it's seed from my mother's garden, whether it's corn or something, and I see a kernel of corn, I don't see a kernel of corn. I do see a kernel of corn, but I see bigger than that. I see a stalk that's got 2 or 3 years on it. I see maybe the fruit that comes off of that. I look at an acorn and I can see an acorn, and the acorn in itself, when I look at that, I don't just see a little 1 by 2 inch, depending on what type of acorn, 1 by 2 inch seed. I see a tree. And God, and part of it is my farming background, but God, when he looks at us, he does not see the failing Brett house. He does not see the flailing Brett house. He sees the Brett house that we just read about in Romans 8:28, 8:29, and 8:30. That's what God sees. That's what he saw in Peter when he called him. That's what he saw in Nathaniel when he called him, that we're going to see in the scripture. That's what he sees in Carter Foles. What are you, 10 years old, Carter? 11 years old. He doesn't just see an 11-year-old boy. He sees a strong, mighty man of valor. He sees in the Psalms, he says that we're a oak of righteousness, that we're planted by the river and we're strong and we're mighty, so much so that the birds and the fowl can rest in our branches, that people can find refuge in us. He sees you as a great man of strength, not as an 11-year-old boy that's full of mischief and 11-year-old boy. And I like that. I like that. I like the little mischievous smile that you got. You know, I call it a pirate smile. I like the pirate smile. But God sees beyond that. He sees that and he loves that and he embraces that and he meets us in that place. But he has also gone into our future and he sees what we are to become. You know, I look at my life journey, and it's easier to do when you get on the backside instead of the front side. You tend to reflect more. Right, Brother Pat? We reflect more than we used to, and we look at things. But y'all have heard me make this statement so many times. I feel like there's so much of my journey that is just now beginning. I feel like there's so much of my journey and who I am to become in Christ and who Christ is going to be in me. That it's exciting. It's not, oh man, I'm tired and I'm wore out and I'm ready just to sit on the back porch in a rocking chair. It's like, God, you're amazing. You're unfolding things. You're revealing things. There's all these beautiful new seasons in our life, and the journey is still before us, but it starts with the seed, and I want to keep getting back to that. Because when you can't hold on to the fruition because the fruition isn't there yet, what you have to hold on to, and this is what Lori spoke of, is the seed. You have the seed to hold on to. It gives us the hope. I remember a movie, and I don't know why this, but God brings movies to my mind a lot. It's kind of weird, but it is what it is. It's, I guess, part of my personality. I remember the movie You've Got Mail. Anybody remember that? Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. You know, too old for most of y'all. Cindy, you with me? All right, let's lock in on this. When Meg Ryan and her guy, that her boyfriend, existing boyfriend, when they split up, you know, and they're saying, I really don't love you. I really don't love you either and all that. And he asked her, he said, is there someone else? And she said, no, but there was a twinkle in her eye. And she said, no, but there's the hope of someone else. And that stuck with me. I mean, it's a carnal movie and all that. And I'm, you know, I know Tom Hanks is liberal and all this stuff. But it stuck with me when she said, no, but there is the hope of true love. There is the hope of happily ever after. There is the hope of Carter becoming this strong kingdom man and having children and grandchildren and great grandchildren and propagating generations of kingdom people. There's the hope of this. There's the belief in this, and it's the belief in the seed that God planted and the power of it being there. And I think we get discouraged because we do not see the manifestation quick enough. It takes years, and I forgot, I did a study on this one time. It takes years for oak trees to begin to start producing fruit. Years and years and years. I want to say that they don't hit their prime until they're like 30 or 40 years old, something like that. And we get discouraged in the process because, I'll be honest with you guys, I get discouraged with me way more than I get discouraged with God. There are times when I'm like, God, really? But way more often it's me. It's like, God, man, really? I ought to be past that by now. and I have a bad attitude, or maybe I snap at Lori, or maybe I'm, you know, this or this, or get frustrated by this, or, you know, our biggest thing, I think the word where it says, the things that we fall into, the biggest thing we fall into is unbelief. And so more often than not, I'm looking at myself and being like, I really don't look like Romans 8:29, Romans 8:30. But God has to carry me back to the seed. And he has to ask me, but do you believe in the power of the seed? But do you believe in the power of the seed? I don't want to bust y'all's bubble. I know y'all are still in this, you know, giddy, wonderful, amazing stage and all that stuff. She's not perfect. You probably hadn't discovered that yet. Because you're looking through rose-colored glasses. He's not perfect. But you have to believe in the power of the seed that you're perfect together. The older I get, it seems like my flaws become more, and maybe it's the enemy putting a spotlight on them. But I'm like, God, man, my flaw. I mean, it's kind of like, and I'm not perfect for her. She's not perfect for me. Because she still is in the seed maturing process. But we are perfect together because of the power of the seed that God planted in this thing. Are y'all following what I'm saying on this? Everybody following this? Let's look at disciples real quick. Jesus turned, we're going to read verse 38 again. Jesus turned around and saw they were following him and asked, what do you want? And they responded, Rabbi, which means master, teacher, where are you staying? And Jesus answered, come and discover for yourselves. This was more than just a geographical answer for Jesus. I think they were just trying to come in and break some ice and be like, man, this, you're the one. I'm immediately leaving John. And I'm coming to follow you, but I really don't know what to say and I don't know what to do. You know, it's kind of like Ricky Bobby. I don't know what to do with my hands. And I'm like that before God. And he said, just be honest. And he's like, where are you staying? He said, come and find out for yourselves. I love that. He said, come and find out for yourselves. He's saying, he's giving this invitation. And he said, you know, he wasn't even at this point, he was not even saying, come and be my disciples. We see that a bit later in some of the other gospels where they're fishing and he comes and it says, come and follow me. That's an invitation to discipleship and they followed. But they had this previous encounter with him before. We know they were disciples of John. And so this is just a little thing of, let's go for a walk together. Let's eat a meal together. Let's start a journey together. You'll see where this is going to go. I already know where it's going. But the thing is will you start this journey with the Lord? Carter today is saying yes to another question on this journey. The first yes was when he accepted the Lord in a place of salvation. Today, this is another question. Will you follow me in baptism? Where does this lead? Both my granddaughters, they've accepted the Lord. They hadn't been baptized yet. And that's okay. I'm not putting pressure or anything like that. But that's another thing, that the Lord will come to you and he'll be like, will you follow me in baptism? It might be this year, it might be next year, it might be 3 years. I don't know. But he's saying, will you follow me into this next? It's kind of like the first time your dad said, well, or maybe the Kent said, let's go ski Centennial. And you're like, ooh, that's kind of scary. It's trees and it's moguls and it's double black diamond and I'm pretty good, but I don't know if I can do that. But once you said yes and you embarked on a new thing and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, now that's my favorite. And so he's asking us on these things on the journey and Jesus is asking me, he says, come and see. Come and see who I am. Come and see what I'm about. Now, Jesus said that in some of the other scriptures, he told him, he said, You know, foxes have holes, birds have nests. He said, the Son of Man has no set geographical place. So he wasn't saying, hey, come check out my house. He is saying, hey, come check out me. And he invites them on this, and that's an invitation for all of us. I'm excited because as a 59 plus 4 year old man, I still get that invitation to come and see. Come and experience this about me. Come and discover for yourselves. So they went with him and saw where he was staying. Since it was late in the afternoon, they spent the rest of the day with Jesus. Verse 40, one of the two disciples who heard John's words and began to follow Jesus was a man named Andrew. He first found his brother Simon Peter and told him, we have found the anointed one, which is translated the Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. When he gazed upon Andrew's brother, he prophesied to him, you are Simon and your father's name is John, but from now on everyone will call you Cephas, which means Peter the Rock. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee where he found Philip. That's all we have on Peter at this point. Think about who Peter was. He was an unlearned fisherman. Rough around the edges by his personality, and we see what he was transformed to be. We can look on it now because we can look back in scriptures and we read 1st and 2nd Peter, and I don't consider him an illiterate man. Pretty profound writing to me. We see his exploits in the book of Acts. We see the things that he did. We see his aura, his essence coming. Don't let that word freak you out. When it says shadow in King James, it was more than the sun was at the right thing and it hit him. It was his presence that he carried. And when it touched people, how he changed history, and it started with a seed. I remember when we were the first time that we went to the Vatican, and right next to the Vatican is St. Peter's Basilica, St. Peter's Cathedral. And we went in there, and some of the disciples, they were, well, you know, we think he was buried in Egypt, or he was buried here or here, but they're you know, you got 15 places Jesus was buried in around Jerusalem and all this, but they say, no, he's buried in these catacombs right here, like 30 foot down. And I remember coming in, our little tour guide, and it was just me and Lori and Randy and Terry and our little tour guide. And she was, you know, we were walking in and she was telling us all of this, and we were standing there, and I knew Peter was buried, and I was overwhelmed by the Spirit of God so bad I just broke down and started crying. I could not stop crying. And it's because I was in the presence of a mighty oak of righteousness. Simon Peter. And it wrecked me. It wrecked me. And I got wrecked by something that started with a seed 2,000 years ago. But it still had presence today. That's a mighty oak that continues throughout eternity. After we're gone, it continues throughout eternity. My father and his legacy and his faith, it continues throughout eternity. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And it starts with a seed. That's what I want you to get. That's what I want you to embrace. That's what I want you to wrap your heart around. And it's not a seed that you put there. It's not a seed that a church put there. It's not Brownsville that put it in this pastor in Heber. Brownsville did not put it there, but it was the Lord that put that seed in there. Or the Lord watered that seed that was there. He sent his Spirit and breathed on that seed that was there. And it did something. It did something. That's the power of God moving in our lives. I'm going to read through this real quickly, and then we're going to baptize Carter. When he gazed upon Andrew's brother, rereading this, he prophesied to him, you are Simon, and your father's name is John, but from now on everyone will call you Cephas, which means Peter the Rock. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, where he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, come and follow me. Now Philip, Andrew, and Peter had all grown up together in the village of Bethsaida. Philip went to look for his friend Nathanael and told him, "We found him. We found the one we've been waiting for. It's Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. He's the one whom Moses and the prophets prophesied would come." Nathanael sneered, "Nazareth, what good thing could ever come from Nazareth?" Philip answered, "Come and let's find out." Man. Anybody ever been skeptical of your faith? "I don't get it, man. Matt, he used to be like this, and now he's not like this." And he kind of lost it a little bit, I think. He kind of, you know, and it's probably that woman he married, Michelle, you know, and all of this stuff. And when we're surrounded by doubters, let's have a simple response. Come and let's see. Come and let's see. Come and try this Jesus that I have found. Come and find this man that found me. That's the good news of the gospel. This is the good news of the gospel. Not come try our church. Not come try our denomination. But come and experience this Jesus that I know. Come and experience this Jesus that I know. Because he has absolutely changed my life. My power of influence over them as a father, while it is still there, that went away on telling them what they could do and what they couldn't do when they were about 19, 20 years old. You know, I was always like, if you're living in my household, you follow my rules and all that. And I'm, you know, I'm still that's the way it should be. But anyway, I'm not trying to tell you how to parent. I'm amazed that five-year-olds are the head of the household. But anyway, I regress. But when she got 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old, Jesus couldn't just be the God of my father and the God of my family. He had to become. And that started when she was younger. But there comes this defining point where we say, I'm a grown woman. But I choose to follow Jesus because I came and saw what he was in your life. I came and saw what he was in these people's lives. I came and I saw what he was in Brett House and Beth House's life. I came and saw what he was in Deborah and Courtney's life, these people that she grew up around. I came and saw what made Marty and Krista Smith so unique. And it's because they had this relationship with this beautiful Messiah named Jesus. And he transformed their life. And so I want to experience that for myself. This is the gospel. This is how we're evangelistic, guys. It's just like, come and try my Jesus. Don't try me. I've tried to be the cool preacher before. It don't work. I was so happy when boots and flannel came back in style. I was like, get back to my true self. Little redneck boy from Harrison County in pickup truck. Levi Garrett spit going down the side of the truck on the outside. That's before school. But it's not come and try me. It's not come and try our church. It's come and try this Jesus who has changed my life. This Jesus that has brought peace, hope, and joy. That sometimes I look like a hot mess, you know. Brenda, that's kind of what you were talking about before church, and we didn't have time to get into any kind of thing. You just said, like, man, it's like going on in my life right now. And I took it, there was some hot mess stuff going on in your life right now. But you know what? There's seed in there, Brenda. There's seed that he put in there. There's seed that he breathed on. There's seed that he watered. There is seed that he has said that I'm going to bring this into fruition, because that Romans 8:29 and Romans 8:30, that's what Brenda looks like. I've seen it and it's beautiful. I believe in it and it's beautiful. It's powerful and it's amazing. And so today that's what I want us to believe and embrace. That's what he wants us to believe and embrace, the power of the seed. The power of the seed. Are we there yet, Sandy? No. But I believe in the power of the seed. I so believe in it. We could go on and we could talk about his dealings with Nathaniel and all of these things, and maybe that's for another day. But when God took these men and God called these men, their future, their destiny, their purpose, he had already been there. And he'd already seen that. And he said, now we're just going to walk out this growth thing. And today, looking back and talking about a tree, today you may be an acorn, today you may be a sapling. You may be gaining some strength where the wind doesn't blow you as much, but you're not producing the acorns yet, or you may be in your prime, or you may just be this stalwart giant that's out there because, you know, we're on the other side. But the DNA on all of it is an oak tree. See, I'm way further along in my journey than Carter is in his journey. But it's the same DNA. It's the same kingdom in you that's in me. You know, we look and we talk about Bill Johnson's, or we talk about whoever that you look and you lift up, the Jeremy Riddles or whoever, Stephanie Gretzinger or whatever, and we look at them, we're like, oh man, they're just spiritual giants. Same DNA. Same DNA. And while I want to embrace the journey, I want to stay true to the same DNA. It's exciting, all the, you know, how bougie Tesate's getting. I'll be honest with you. I look back fondly. Me and Scott have had this conversation. I look back fondly on sleeping in tents with the dogs and chickens keeping us up all night long. But one thing that can't and won't change, as long as we stay true to his journey, it's the DNA. It's the love. It's the gospel of, let me introduce you to this Jesus that has been so good to me, and he's going to be good to you. Because that's who he is. So the reason I feel like we all need to take communion together, I'm done on preaching. I promise you I could go 4 more hours, but we won't. The reason I feel like it's important for us to take communion today is because it takes all of us to help Carter in his journey. It takes me, it takes you, it takes you guys as friends here with him today, his family that's here. I mean, some of y'all drove from Arkansas. Depending on where you came from, that's 6 or 7 hours. And it takes you in his life. It's not just Nick and Amanda. As key and important, as crucial as y'all are, we are all traveling this journey together. Maybe it's to set an example. Maybe it's to undergird. Maybe it's just to help him where he's... I hope you're so tender to the Lord. Don't ever lose the mischievousness and all that stuff. You know, maybe modify behavior a little bit. I don't know. But just never lose that spirit. Never lose that spirit. But never believe that it's not masculine or not cool to be tender before the Lord. that when His Spirit comes and it touches and it breathes on you and it stirs in you, not long after God, I'll use this quote unquote, called me to preach. I started preaching. I started pastoring. And about the first 3 months, I couldn't preach without just crying my eyes out. And I'm like, God, I don't want to cry every time I preach. And I didn't cry for 6 months. And I said, God, I want to start crying again. Now, the older I get, the more mush I am. But maybe it's okay for him to see Dad coming down here and getting communion every Sunday. That you'd always have to be a tough football coach. You know. That he sees you being tender with his mother. Being tender before the Lord. It gives him permission to do the same. Maybe when I get like this, it gives him permission to do the same, to be tender to the Spirit of the Lord. When he sees you walking it out all the days of your life, you know. When he sees us get old and we're still passionate about the Lord. That's why it takes all of us. So let's take communion together, okay? I invite everybody to join us if you're a believer. And hey, Courtney, will you come down? Keith, you want to come down? Brett House, come on down. We need James, you want to come jump in and help? Have we got, oh, we just got four. I can't get everybody. Let me get something out of here. How many guys I got down here? Four. Pat, you want to jump in and help serve, brother? You guys, let's go ahead and just start ministering to people. This is a beautiful, holy thing. I love the beauty of my Savior as they're coming in and they're having their Last Supper together. And He's establishing communion. And it said that He took off His outer garment. He took off His rabbi robe. He said He girded Himself with a towel and He washed their feet. He humbled Himself because He loved us so much. Because He said, I'm going to meet you where you are. And I'm going to give myself to you and for you in that place. And I'm taking this, we're taking this today as a community of believers that are celebrating what God has done for us and is doing in us. But I want you to think on this, and from this angle and from this standpoint, viewpoint. I'm taking this as a yes of being part of the community of believers in Carter Foles' life. This is my yes in a place of celebration of God allowing me to be a part of His life. When you start to view it in that way, you'll start looking at Carter different. Amen. They're good. It's all right, Amanda. Boys are boys. I like it. Thank you, brother. Let's stand to our feet. Two statements in this, the scripture we read today as we partake of this. The first one was Jesus saying, come and see. As we partake of this, Jesus was saying, come and see. Come and see who I am. Come and see what I want to do in your life. And then the second statement is our response. Let us find out. He says, come and see. We're saying, let us find out as we partake of this. And I'm partaking it on my behalf. Ashley, I believe as you take this, you're taking this for your child that's in your womb right now. And he or she is communing with the Lord right now. Amen. So let's bless this, or ask God's blessing on it. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for what we're celebrating today. I thank you for seed. I thank you for the power of the seed. I thank you for the hope of the seed. I thank you for the future of the seed. The seed doesn't stay seed, but it grows and it matures and it becomes something amazing in the journey. And I celebrate that. And I thank you for that. As we take communion this morning, Father, we are remembering and we are thanking you for what you did and what you continue to do for us. Your invitation to come and see. And our taking this is our response, Lord, that we want to find out. And so we say yes to you. We thank you for your body that was given for us. The beauty and the purity of it. And we thank you for your righteous blood that was shed for us, for our sins, to recreate us as new creatures in you. And we celebrate that and we say yes to that. Bless this. Bless the people that are partaking of this. I declare wholeness over them. I declare wholeness over their bodies, divine health. I declare wholeness over their faith journey, purity over their faith journey. And we just, we believe this. We say yes to this. We thank you that we are in Carter Foles' life. We thank you that we have a place in a cloud of witnesses that are around him. And that he sees things in us that encourages, it brings peace, it brings hope, it brings stability. And I'm thankful that we're a part of that. And we celebrate that today. It's in Jesus' name we ask, and in Jesus' name we believe all these things. Amen. Celebrate you. Amen.
All right.
Carter, you ready? Come on back. Nick, you going to join him back here and get him squared away? Y'all go ahead and be seated for a minute. Hey, Tyler, you want to come grab a guitar and play something amazing for us? Do what? Don't know about amazing. Oh, it'll be amazing. Brett, you got anything while we're changing?
Well, I was just, as Pastor Sid was speaking the whole time, some of it's familiar scripture to some of us, but just in the back of my mind, it was just remembering, and I can't remember exactly where in the Old Testament, but it was when God was I'm blacking out, an Abrahamic covenant, and they cut the animals in half. They put half the animal on this side, half on this side, and that's when God was the initial covenant with Abraham. You know, he puts Abraham to sleep, and he goes through on Abraham's behalf because he knew before it ever even started that Abraham, in his humanity, couldn't do it. So he said, "I'm going to put you under the cleft of my wing, and I'm going to go with both of us." And then you fast forward to Philippians in chapter 1. And it's the scripture my sister wrote in my Bible that she gave me the day I got saved. And it's pretty familiar scripture to us. It's, you know, that he who began a good work in us is faithful to complete that work unto the day of Christ. It's his faithfulness. It's his faithfulness. And sometimes the biggest act of worship you can do is not any vocals or lyrics or sermons spoken. It's just not letting go that day. That's worship. Just not letting go. Just don't let go. And I always picture that scripture where it talks about, you know, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I always thought, you know, I'm that type A, that mentality, that bulldog athletic mentality in me that God gave me. I pictured for years, you know, my jobs, he started this. He called me. I wasn't looking for him. He found me in a mess. He gave me the baton, and I pictured for years me running, and I got the best anchor man on ever. You know, he's the finisher of my faith. My job was just not to quit and get him the baton. And there's some truth to that. But exhibit A, living that way will wear you out. But then there's also scripture, and we sing the song, The Blessing. What does it talk about? You know, he's before us. He's behind us, but he's also with us. So those hard days where I, in the past, where I was just trying to out-Brett my circumstances, I can't. He did start it, and he will finish it. But he's there every step of the way, too. Amen? He's not just waiting for you to give him the baton. He's like, remember the Olympics when the injured guy that ended the marathon like hours after everybody else was done and his dad came out of the stands? And that's the Lord. He'll come to where you are in your condition. And you were not in this alone ever. Ever, 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 ever. Just don't ever, young people, don't ever forget that. It's not all up to you. The Lord will never, ever, ever be a day where he's not there. Amen. Don't ever forget that if you nothing else. Amen. God bless you guys.
One thing that I'm learning about the heart of the Father. I grew up thinking that God through the years had to whip me into shape. And one thing that I'm learning about his heart, he does discipline, but he loves me into what he wants me to become. And he does that by constantly reminding me that I'm his son and he's my father. It really touches touches me. There's a little boy, the little special needs boy in Honduras, right down the road. And you never know what you're going to get. I mean, you may go by and he's standing in the front yard just butt naked. And there are some is like, well, we just need to discipline him with a... And yet you always love on him. And you say, he's a good boy. You just keep saying, you keep declaring that over. Every time you're there, you just declare that he's such a good boy. He's such a good boy. And that's the heart of the Father. And there'll be times where it's like, ooh, Carter, I'm going to wring his neck. And the Father keeps declaring he's such a good boy. Come here, Carter. The kingdom of heaven is within you because he put it there. He breathed on you and he put it there. And what he will continue to do in this journey is he'll keep breathing on you. And he'll keep drawing you close. And he'll keep reminding you that you're a good... I'm 59 plus 4 and he still reminds me that I'm a good boy. And that he's my Father and he loves me. And he will bring me to an expected end. I caught just a little bit about what Brett was sharing when I was changing over there. I couldn't hear much, but I heard him talking about Abraham and when God made covenant with Abraham. And he knew Abraham wouldn't be able to hold up his end of the bargain, if you will. So he put him to sleep. And he walked through and he said, I'll do it for both of us. And he walked through for you. He already has. And he's already walked through for me. So just let that kingdom that's within you grow. Trust the seed. Everything that you need for success, for success in life, how to be a good husband, how to be a good dad, how to be just a good young man, how to be a good son, how to be a good friend. He's put it in there. Just keep saying yes to that relationship with him. Okay? That's the key to life. I just gave you a million-dollar book advice there. Just keep saying yes to his invitations because your life's going to be full of invitations. Just keep saying yes. Just keep saying yes. Amen. Somebody grab that oil bottle and bring it over here for me, please. You got that, Tyler? Can you keep? Let's see how amazing you are. This anointing oil, it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. In the scripture that we read when Jesus was baptized, it says the Holy Spirit came upon him and stayed upon him. And I'm gonna anoint you with this oil. And it's symbolic, but there's power in the symbolism because he's the one that's anointed you, not just Pastor Sid. He's anointed not just you as a man, he's anointed your life. That's important. That's a big deal. He's anointed your life. And there'll be some times when you lose and there'll be some times when you win. And I'm not talking about just on the sports field. I'm talking about in life. But one thing that never changes, Lori talked about it, when we're down, when we're up and all those things, is his commitment to us, his faithfulness to us, and the power of the seed that's within us. It's just symbolic of his anointing and his presence. If you'd been the only person on the planet, he still would have died for you, Carter. If you'd been the only one, he would have still said yes. Amen. Father, do a work that only you can do. Join with me as we pray over Carter. do a work only you can do in his life, Father. I pray that his heart would be so tender to you, to your presence. Let him fall in love with your presence. Let him fall in love with your presence. Even as an 11-year-old boy, let him fall in love with your presence. Speak to him in the night. I pray for supernatural sleep, that you would download kingdom into him as he sleeps. That you would do things that doesn't come in a natural way, but it's supernatural. Just stir in him. I thank you for the seed that you placed within him. I thank you for the power of the seed, and I thank you for the hope of the seed. Let it truly, truly become everything you've designed it to be. It's in Jesus' name that we ask these things, and in Jesus' name we place all of our hope today. Amen and amen. You ready, buddy? Okay. Upon your profession of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my brother, Carter Foles, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You or Amanda got anything y'all want to? You good? Amanda? Where is Amanda? Oh, there she is. You good? Y'all good? Amen. Proud for y'all. Excited for y'all. For God's purpose, God's plans, God's destiny. Amen. Yeah. All right. We good? Everybody good? Y'all ready to call her today and go home and break bread? All right. Let's do it. Love you guys. It's great to be back in the house today. Just looking forward to what God's not finished. God's not finished. He's just continuing the beauty of the journey. And he's continually asking us. He said, "Are you ready for what's next?" He's asking me that. 59 plus 4, you ready for what's next? And I say yes. I choose yes because I believe in the power of the seed. Amen. Marty Smith, will you dismiss us, brother?